Well, welcome to Pulling on Heaven 24/7 podcast. I'm Pastor Gary Zamora, and glad to be with you today, and glad that you have joined us today. Today's a really unique podcast because I have a dear friend and a worship leader who I've known for a few years. You've come to PFC, Ray. Ray Reynolds is with us today.
Yes.
You've come to PFC on a number of occasions, and you're very anointed to worship sing. You carry a heart of sincerity and a great friend. And I've had the opportunity to share with you as you come to minister, then you also are there to hear the word.
Right.
And I've had an opportunity to share what God has put on my heart to share, and we all have our office, our gift, and our call. And it's been a great joy watching you take the information that I'm thankful for that God has shared with me, as I've shared with you, take it and listen to the things that you interpret internally and what one person says, what I say, watch it explode in you in ways that I may not even think about. And that happens a lot of times. And you're certainly a representative of someone that hears the word and then emulates that word. But you do something the word says, you study to show yourself approved,
right?
A workman that needs not be ashamed. You study the word of God, and you listened, and you've done that with the word that God has given me, and God has allowed me to share with you and people all over the place. And it's a blessing and an honor, and I sincerely mean that, to be sitting across the table from you today, because you found yourself in the middle of what some may call a storm, of the trying of their faith,
right?
And your perspective on it is really profoundly encouraging. And so I'm really, really excited to hear what God has done in your life through this time. And we can say, we're not here today because you are saying, I made it through the storm, or the storm is over, or,
right,
you know, the wind has stopped, or I walked back to the boat with Jesus like Peter. You know, you might consider what you're doing is standing on the water and watching the wind blow. And so our faith, the word says that it is written that the just shall live by faith. And you and I got to share a little bit today. That's actually the first time I've talked to you since you got the report that you're in today, or that you're living with today, and overcoming by the word of God, which is life. So,
amen.
Ray, welcome. And I'm just going to open the door by saying, I know you're in the middle of a rocky storm, but I constantly say this is the greatest season of your life.
That's,
and I,
right,
say it for a reason. And it certainly isn't saying that it may not be when I say that, I'm not saying, you know, you're having the greatest time in respect to what you or someone else may want to be experiencing, but it's a great time because Jesus is Lord in all things, and he's Lord with us. So, Ray, I'm just going to give you the mic. Please share what's on your heart.
Well, Pastor, just being here with you is an honor and a privilege. Your ministry and the things that you have spoken into my life have taken me and have molded me into the person that I am today. Obviously, God speaking through you to me has been life-changing. I just want to share what has been going on. March 28th and 29th, I was in Shepherd Church's Passion Play, and I really felt God was moving in my life. It was the final show, and we were doing a closing Sunday night program, or Sunday morning program, and I was singing the finale, and I was getting this unbelievable feeling from the congregation and the cast behind me, and I said, God, does it get any better than this? I mean, as soon as the song ended, I said, God, does it get any better than this? My work was growing great. My family was thriving. There was just so many things going. He goes, yes, I felt in my spirit. He said, yes, it does get better than this. And there's a storm coming. Hmm. And I didn't understand that. I came off and I said to my wife, Renee, I said, Renee, I sensed in my spirit that God said there's a storm coming. Well, there was a storm coming. 12 days later, all of a sudden, I my stomach started to swell, and I couldn't figure it out. And I looked like I was 6 months pregnant. And I went to the hospital, and the hospital in Simi, they released me and told me to go get tested with different doctors. I ended up going to church that Sunday and leaving church because I was so uncomfortable, and immediately going to Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles, where they ran a bunch of tests. And on April 12th, I was told, with my family listening, that I had terminal bile duct cancer, and if I didn't start chemo immediately, I would have a month to live. Pastor, the only thing I wanted to do at that moment, and as God is my witness, I wanted to crawl out of my bed and thank God for my salvation. I wasn't angry. I wasn't fearful. I had this peace that overwhelmed me. The hope of knowing that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And do I want that for my kids and my grandkids? No. But all of a sudden, God started revealing himself to me in ways that I cannot possibly describe in full detail. And people will say, well, you always preached, and it seemed like every time I was there, you preached on a couple things. Your footsteps are ordered by the Lord. This is the greatest season of your life. God works all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. How could cancer be a good thing? But through the ministry and through me seeing God open up certain little miracle things, little miraculous things that could only be possible through the fact that I was fully and am now fully and totally reliant on God. God showed me areas in my life where I was self-sufficient, wanting to be self-reliant. I was selfish and stubborn and prideful in certain areas. He showed me things about myself where I would depend on me versus God, not my will, but your will be done. He showed me things about how I treated my wife. He showed me things about how I acted towards my kids sometimes. There were just things that he was molding me because I was completely surrendered to what his plan and purpose was for my life. I said, God, all I want to do now is glorify you in everything I do. So I asked him the question, how can cancer be a good thing? How can terminal cancer be a good thing? Oh, and by the way, I've already outlived that month expectancy. So praise the Lord on that. How can cancer be a good thing? The verse that God gave me was 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. And this is just how good God is. We felt that we had received the sentence of death. That was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Since I received that diagnosis, what's so miraculous is that I see certain things differently. I see everything differently. I have to rely on God more than I ever have. Because when I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I either have to completely surrender and be crying out to God and just thanking him and worshiping him, or I start going down these rabbit holes of negativity. And that's where taking every thought captive,
yes,
really, really spoke to me. I have regular conversations with the Holy Spirit. I have an unbelievable church community that is gotten behind me and people from my work. They've encouraged me. I need Jesus every moment for strength and for wisdom and for protection, for guidance. I came to this realization, and it was really something. If I could go back to singing in that production, which brought me so much joy, and be cancer free, go back 8 weeks ago to that time, March 28th and 29th, and be cancer free, or be right where I'm at now, have the faith that I had back then, or have the faith that I have right now, I would pick right now, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Amazing.
Cancer has showed me things about my cancer is not a good thing. But God is good in the midst of it. God has been faithful. God has been consistent. I mean, I'm really at a loss of words of what to really say, because there's so much I could say and I could ramble on and on. But you say this is the greatest season of my life. Some people may question that. This is the greatest season of my life because God is doing a new thing in me that is unexplainable, that is undescribable. It is, he's more real and more, I feel him here now. He's more active. I feel him actively pursuing me and actively showing me his love. I was like, there was one night I was really, the only side effect I've had from chemotherapy is extreme dry throat, which affects my voice. And I could barely sleep that night, and it was hard to breathe. And I reached over in my nightstand for a drink, and the Holy Spirit just said, "Living water." It's these kind of things that didn't happen before. God just letting me know that he's there. And there's so many people out there that are struggling with this very disease, that have no hope. They have no joy. They have no peace. They think their peace is going to come from a good doctor's report or a good medical diagnosis, or they think that it's going to come from somewhere in this world. Hope, joy, and peace come from one place, and that's from Jesus. And I'm not worried about doctor's reports. All I want to do is glorify God. I want to lift up his name. I want to worship him. He's given me an ability to be able to lead worship. I want to be able to do that in some capacity. Obviously, my body has aged probably 20 years in a month. I lost 33 pounds in 3 weeks. That's a lot of weight. I have gained weight back. It was a real struggle in the hospital. I'll never forget it. There was a man in the room next to me who was told pretty much the same exact thing that I was told, who had not one person in the room. The doctor told them, I basically heard the whole thing, and he just sat there and cried all by himself. And there's lots of people out there, Pastor, that are going through this, that don't realize that there is hope in Christ. There is peace in Christ. There is joy in Christ, even in the midst of this cancer battle.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Bible calls us, first of all, what an incredible testimony to your relationship with God, to say, you know, in order to be where I am today, in the faith that I'm living in today, knowing what God has shown me, that you would choose that beyond what you communicated to me. What I heard you say was one of the pinnacles of your career, of your life, of your ministry. Right. And I saw you sing and heard you sing. I saw you on stage and heard you sing. It was incredible. You know, it was powerful. It was anointed. It was amazing. But I've said this a lot of times because it's a confidence that we have to have in who the Lord is. Number one, this is the greatest season of your life. How could you possibly say that? You know, sitting across the table from a man that's been diagnosed with a terminal disease. You said it. You said, you know, you said that your life, what God is doing in your life. Where is our life, though? Our life is in Christ.
Right.
And Christ is everything. He is the fullness of all things. Christ in you is not dealing with any terminal diagnosis. Christ in you is alive. Christ in you is whole. And when we come to know Jesus, the first thing we're taught in the Word is to lay down our lives.
Right.
I mean, it really sets us up for how we are supposed to hunger for him and consider him and believe Jesus to be our life. And a lot of times we say it, I think, more as a, it almost, it becomes more of a, a churchy religious term, and we don't think about what we're saying. And it really is important to hear what you're saying, to believe what you're saying. Christ is my life. Well, when Christ is your life, then no one can take that from you.
No.
And Jesus said those words. Now, he's about ready to, he's going to lay his life down. And as a matter of fact, he rebukes Peter when Peter says, don't do this. Far be it from you, Lord. This is never to happen to you.
Right.
Jesus rebukes Peter and says, I came to the world for this very reason. And then Jesus said, but no one's taking my life. I'm laying my life down. So I'm hearing a real, true life living version of that coming out of you. No one's taking my life. You know, cancer isn't taking your life.
No.
You're doing what you did when you got saved. You're laying your life at the foot of the cross of Christ. You're saying Christ is my life. You're living salvation. And the testimony that I'm hearing you say is so profound, and it has to help a lot of people if they'll just listen. Number one, it's no longer I that lives, the word says, but you know, we all have taken that kind of in a flippant, more of a
100%.
Yeah, just a phrase that we say to kind of make us feel saved.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to it, when Christ is all that you have to rely on, you kind of realize. It helps you discern whether or not you are where you need to be, or is there a someplace you really needed to be? Because we'll say, Lord, I'm praying not my will, but your will be done. But so often, that's not really what we mean. What we really mean is, God, I hope you'll see it my way. I'm not really praying for your will. I'm praying for your approval on my will.
Correct.
And if you do that, then I know that you've answered me. But a lot of times, you know, God answered people in the Word, and it wasn't that God wanted people to experience that answer. He wanted them to experience trust in him. And we see that with Paul. Paul goes before the Lord, and Paul says, you know, there was a thorn given me in my flesh. And he says, a messenger of Satan came to buffet me in my flesh. And you think about there, well, there it is. There's the devil. We need to cast out. No. You have to listen to the rest of what Paul said. He said, but this thorn was given to me. he introduces it as a gift. And he says, this thorn was given to me. Now, trust me when I tell you, and trust the word, the devil isn't going to come to try and help humble you. He's not coming to help you serve in your faith to God. So there's something more going on here than the devil coming. This is what's really happening is God saying, Paul, I need you to be surrendered to me in a way you've never experienced before. And it's this scripture, Jeremiah 33:3. God says, call on me. And I will answer you, okay? So Paul called on God, and he said, and I got an answer. God answers every single prayer we pray in faith, every one.
So good.
Because he is faithful. Jeremiah 33:3, call on me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things, or the literal term is, word is inscrutable, things you do not know. When you call on me, I'm going to show you things you do not know, great and mighty things. God was showing Paul something. Paul said, the thing that could have got in between me and my call, between me and the Lord, was an arrogant attitude.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so this buffeting in my flesh helped me see that it's no longer I that live, but it really is Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in the flesh, as the word says, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. So God is an eternal life-giving spirit. And when we're born of him, when you ask Christ to come into your life and be Lord of your life, no one can take your life. No disease can take your life. Your body can go through a lot of change and transition. And then at some point in time, you know, most everyone hits that point. Paul, the word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right.
But God never brings us to an end, Ray, because he is without an end.
That's one thing that really ministered to me. God never brings us to an end, but to a new beginning. And one thing that really means a whole different, it means something completely different to me is, I used to write about all the time, to live as Christ and to die as gain. And if we had that faith, we would just be different Christians. We would. But until you really And I don't want to say until you're faced with it, you really don't understand it, because that's not true, because plenty of people really understand it and walk and live by that. But for me, this diagnosis helped me see to live is Christ, and that's who I'm going to honor and exalt. And to die, my kids don't want to hear this. My wife doesn't want to hear this. My grandkids don't want to hear this. To die is gain. But they want to hear it because they know where I'm going. So therefore, that offers hope to my kids, my grandkids, that I'm at peace. And this has been so profound, because when you talk about the thorn in Paul's side, I can so now relate to that. My grace, the fact that you have heaven, Ray, mm-hmm. You have heaven. No matter what happens, you have heaven. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
There's no losing here. There's so many people out there that don't have the win-win. And that breaks my heart. It hurts me. And I want them to know that God is real. Jesus is real. He sent his son to die for you, and it's real. And he will give you hope. He will give you peace and joy that passes all understanding. There's another religious, oh, Jesus gives me peace that passes understanding. We can throw that around flippantly. But until you see, I got a real reality check. I was getting my port installed in my arm for the chemo. I'm laying on this gurney, and I'm thinking, man, there's a lot going on in my life. And God just, for some reason, I don't know, I laid back and I looked up, and across the roof of the surgery room, there are stickers, Disney stickers. There are Disney stickers for all the kids that are having the exact same thing put in their arm. Hmm. And are going through the exact same thing. And God said, I mean, in no certain way, but I just felt the Lord telling me, you've got to speak about Jesus to these kids, to people. You cannot be in situations anymore. And and not mention my name. You cannot be in these situations and not glorify me in some way. So now, I went to Wheel of Fortune this past week and got to see all of my coworkers.
You're a cameraman.
I'm a cameraman on Wheel of Fortune.
Years.
I was going to be, this year was my 30th year, and it was the last day of taping. And it's so funny, because we ended up taking a picture with everybody, and people were so loving and kind and gracious. And I'm sharing with my Jewish friend about Jesus up in the dressing rooms, and she's talking about her love for God. And people were coming up to me and saying, I'm even praying for you. There's just this whole thing that God is showing me. And most people on these shows, because I've worked on Jeopardy for 40 years and Wheel for 30, when these staff members and these crew members, they get sick, they just fade off and we don't ever hear from them again. I wasn't going to let that happen. I wanted people to know. I wanted to go in there, number one, and say, God has got me, and God's not done with me yet. And number two, I wanted to just be a reflection of Jesus to people. And that's my goal. For however long God gives me, 3 months, 6 months, 10 years, all I want to do is to be able to worship him in some capacity, which, using my gifts in church, worshiping him at home, talking about him just casually, because to live is Christ, and that's what I'm here for. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, just over the last month, more so than ever, that to die is gain.
You know, when Paul is talking, and you quoted the word, God's answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, that's not God saying, listen, you're not getting what you asked for. God's saying, what you're asking for, you have. The life you're asking for, you know, when it's in situations of trying times and relationships, physically, when people are going through life-altering things in their life, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, financial, whatever it is, we have to believe that Jesus is so very real. He's so very present with us. He is ever present help in the time of trouble. He never said you wouldn't have trouble. So when we say this is the greatest season of your life, I'm never saying you won't have challenges. You know, you won't face troubling times. Right. What we're saying is you have to look for the grace. And that's what Paul said. Jesus said to him, Paul, you're looking for something to be removed that's actually serving you in a way you have no idea.
Whew.
And it's serving you in a way of revealing who I am in you, the very life that you've been talking about, the very life that you're writing about, the very life that you're preaching and teaching about. I want you to have a greater understanding of that life. And that's what Jesus said when he said that out of our bellies, the word says, well, flow rivers of life-giving water. I expect you to keep living, Ray. I just do, because life-giving water is flowing from you. You know the scripture that says, pray one for another, mm-hmm. that you may be healed. And
yes.
I was able to share this on Sunday, last Sunday. Why is that? Why is it that when we pray for one another, we can be healed? Because we're all part of the same body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you hurt your hand, your entire body is experiencing that pain. Your finger or your hand may be hurt, but the rest of your body doesn't know any different.
Right.
To your body, the whole body,
right,
is in pain. The whole body, the entire body is hurt. The entire body is experiencing something. And then it also says something about if the ear, because the ear is not an eye, should the ear say, I'm not a part of the body?
Right.
And what's incredible about this is God, you have a grace. What you're going through right now, God has given you what is called grace. You have a gift to share the word of the Lord. You have an anointing on your life to share Christ. And you've always, as long as I've known you, you've done it for many, many years, sharing through ministry, through the word and through sharing and song and ministering to people in worship. But your grace, the grace of God, is ministering through you today. And that's the power of the ministry that carries you when you were singing that song and felt,
right,
does it get any better than this?
Right.
You are preaching, you are sharing, you are encouraging. Today, you are empowering people in the body of Christ by your faith. Your prayer for the body is your strength. Your prayer for the body is healing you, because Ray, you're a part of this body we call the church, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God is working through you. And when we come and we all at some point in time have to come to a revelation, or we're brought to that revelation, that Christ is everything and outside of him isn't anything, because we can think, you know, why the question is asked, why then? You know, if God is so merciful and good and kind and loving, why do bad things happen to good people?
Here it is. Yep.
And one time Jesus was called good, and he said something, and that's the answer. Why do bad things happen to good people? Ray, they don't.
They don't.
Jesus said there is none good.
That's it.
But the Father.
That's it.
But I can tell you that good things do happen to bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And I am an example of that. I was bad in sin, as we all were. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God showed us goodness. He showed us his grace. He showed us his love. He showed us his mercy. Good things happen to bad people.
Mm-hmm.
All were bad. All were alienated from God. All were dead. But the love and the life of Christ came into bad people, and God shared his goodness. So only good, the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Come on.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes I think that's falling down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he leads me beside the still waters. Sometimes I think that's when you're so thirsty, you have to have a drink. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quieted waters. He restores my soul. Sometimes we need restoring. You know, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That word righteousness means I know where I stand with God.
Oof.
Not because of who I am. I just know who he is. And if he's standing, and he's standing in me and with me, I know where I stand.
Amen.
You know, you lead me in the paths of righteousness, right standing, for your name's sake, because of you, who you are.
That's right.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadows of death, I won't fear it, because you're alive and you are with me.
You're with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You direct me. You guide me as a shepherd does his sheep. You know, in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. You can call anything your enemy if you want. But focused on your enemy isn't the answer. The anointing oil of God. And you make my cup run over. And then David says, only goodness and mercy can pursue me all and will pursue me all the days of my life. Because I dwell in the presence, the house, the temple of my God, now and forever.
So powerful. And Pastor, certain things that used to garner my interest are gone. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that I've been seeking will be added unto you. I have seen that more in the last month than ever before. And as I seek the Lord, he's just showed me, you need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of that. That needs to go. I'm telling you, it's the pruning shears. Mm-hmm. It's the pruning shears and I'm being pruned, and he's doing it in such a loving. This is what I want to convey to people, that God's just going to show you how much he loves you, because through this process of showing you who he wants you to be, is only going to make you realize how much he loves you, how much he's with you. The Bible says we are the apple of his eye. I am just overwhelmed by his goodness and his grace and his mercy. This is the greatest season of my life, and it's not because of cancer, it's because of what God is doing in my life and what he's been doing and what he's doing in my family's life. I just want to praise him, and I just want to share with the world that there is a hope and there's a peace and joy. The Bible says that if you seek God, you will lack no good thing. And I haven't always been there, and I've still got a long way to go, but God is molding me into who he wants me to be.
So beautiful, Ray. You know, I'm hearing you say is that life doesn't consist of the things that we wear, or the things that we eat, or our expectations. And we all have expectations.
Right.
You have expectations.
100%.
And God will continue to fulfill those expectations through you. But what I hear you saying is you've turned the lens around. You know, I said this on a program we did recently. You know, we think about Jesus. We think about him coming, think about him saving us. I don't believe Jesus ever wanted us to look at his coming as our salvation. I believe he wanted us to look at him coming as our Savior,
mm-hmm.
as our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can think, if I could just get out of trouble, if Jesus had come on a cloud and get me out of trouble. And I think sometimes we look at the hope of the coming of the Lord as our salvation, when Jesus, right here, right now, he is our salvation. I don't believe he ever wanted us to look for his second return as our salvation. He wants us to look at him
right
here and now. He is our salvation. The salvation of God has come. And we can think about that physically, financially, in the things that we're going through. Number one, look at a man that has been given a death sentence and see the life coming out of him. Number one, you're going through something financially, you're going through something, in your marriage or your relationship. Be thankful that you have a relationship. Be thankful
right,
that you have
right.
a marriage to believe God for.
Right.
The word says that when we hope, when we continue, when we don't see what we're asking for, we don't see what we're praying for, something incredible happens. We have an opportunity of hope. And you know what that hope, that moment of hope is for? Is for us to have a different perspective, to look in a different way at who he is, so we can see who we are really supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's almost like everything has to just sometimes be set aside, so we can't look at, it's just like, I don't have anything to hold on to now except Christ, which is where we should start. If every day we would start with the attitude, God, I have nothing, and I mean this, I have nothing to hold on to, because in a moment's time, who knows what God says, you know? The answer comes from the Lord. But God, my hope today, right now, even when things seem great, things seem good, things seem so-so, things seem in turmoil or upside down, right here, right now, that's what surrender, that's what worship is. God, I worship you. Worship God as the deer pants after the water.
Yes.
So my soul longs after you today. Yes. God, things feel pretty good. That moment you're up there singing, God, things feel pretty good. You did what you needed to do. You hit your knees. When you crawl, you said all you want to do is crawl out of bed and hit your knees and say, God, I just want to worship you and praise you and love you. Get that. Get that today. Get that today. Don't wait for an answer, good or one that seems bad, to come. But get that answer today. What is the answer? God, you are my life. You're my living. You're the hope of all that I am. And draw him up close. Have you ever looked through a telescope through the wrong lens?
Yes, yes.
And what happens to that image when you look through the wrong lens?
Doesn't it go further?
It goes further away. Yeah, yeah. And it looks smaller and further away.
That's so good.
Ray, we've been looking through the wrong end of the telescope.
Yes.
We need to turn it around and look through the eyepiece.
Ooh, come on.
Because when you look through a telescope, what does it do?
It brings it closer.
Brings it closer. It magnifies.
Hmm.
The word says, oh, come magnify the Lord with me. Let's magnify the Lord together. You know, a lot of church, a lot of religion, a lot of preaching, teaching, it sounds good coming over the podium. But when you have to live it, and we should have to live it today before someone tells us you need to live it today.
Mm-hmm.
What God is doing through you, Ray, is a wonder. I see the salvation of God being manifest in you. I see the body of Christ being administrated through you. I see healing coming through you. I see life. I see people gaining hope and not wanting to just die and get over
it. Praise the Lord.
But wanting to live in it, wanting to live through it. You know, Peter walked on the water and we talk about him sinking. Why is it we always see him sinking and just the moment of salvation? He walked on water, Ray. He stepped on water. I've never walked on water.
No,
that moment in Christ, that moment that Peter walked on water, why? Because all he saw, he knew the storm was there. It wasn't because the storm was any worse. The waters didn't become any deeper. The wind was the same. The waters were the same. Why did he sink? He took his eyes off God.
Took his eyes off Jesus.
It wasn't that he looked at the storm. It's that he looked away from Christ.
Right.
Regardless of what that answer is, God answers every single prayer. So a couple of things. Do you really believe God answers your prayer?
Yes.
So if we really believe that God answers our prayer, when we call on him and ask him, are we really going to praise him when he answers us?
Hmm?
Most people would say yes. But what if the answer is the answer that Paul got? Will you remove this from me? And God said, no.
Hmm. That's it.
Can you rejoice in the answer of the Lord? Because the answer really wasn't a no in the way we think. The answer was God saying to Paul, I'm going to take you from where you've been, where you thought you were all right, and I'm going to show you that there is so much more, that it is so much better.
Yes.
And Paul, you're going to live through this. So, Ray, you're going to live through this, and God's going to work through you, and he's going to speak through you, just like he is a lot of people today that are watching, going through similar things. Maybe different as far as a diagnosis, but very, very similar things. God is the hope of your life. And can you believe that God will answer you? Yes. Then know that when the answer comes, people seek, the word says, people seek for the answer of kings and leaders and rulers, but the real answer comes from God. Can you believe that the answer Amen. Is from the Lord?
Amen.
And if it is, can you believe Romans 8:28, all things will do and will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
You're not dying, Ray. You're living.
I'm living.
You're living. You're alive. And I'm hearing you say you're more alive. I mean, you correct me if I'm incorrect. You're more alive today in ways that you've never been alive
100%,
before.
100%.
And it's when you can't do anything about what's going on. So instead of feeling hopeless when you can't do anything about your diagnosis or about your finances or about your business or your family, love. Do what Jesus did. Love. I hear you saying you're loving. You're addressing your family more in a different way than you ever had before. Dig for that. Instead of turning our eyes to what we need, do what we really say we believe. Turn our eyes to who Christ is.
Amen.
Can you really, really believe God answers prayer? He answers every single prayer. It's just that sometimes the kingdom of God doesn't agree with us.
Imagine
the kingdom
that.
Of God corrects us.
Yes.
We want to be led of the Lord, then let him lead you. Let him lead you in the way that we and he and you are supposed to go, the way he wants to lead us. The Lord is my shepherd. He will lead me. He will direct me. He will govern me. He will guide me. God never brings us to an end.
Only
Ray, he only brings us to a new beginning.
Amen.
You know, while you're still here on planet Earth, living and breathing, and you're able to do it by faith, that great, great gift of faith, do it with all your heart. Know how present I am with you.
Right.
Know that I'm the God of life, and out of your belly will flow rivers of life, giving water. When we minister to others at those times that we feel so tried, when we give to others, we become healed. Because when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts.
Amen.
But when one part of the body is healed, the whole body feels well. And Ray, right now, what you're saying is to the whole body is we are well.
We are
healed. We are alive. The
Amen.
Real part of us that was sick, the real part of who we are that was dead and dying, God has made alive in Christ. And that life in you is keeping you alive, Ray. And you are an instrument and a vessel of healing to the body today. And I want to thank you for sharing healing to the body, to me and to people that are in the studio here today and to everyone that's hearing it. You are a instrument of life, a life-giving force of health and encouragement and joy and peace. If you can have the diagnosis that you do, ask to sit at a table right here, right now, like we're doing today, and tell people that your hope is in Christ and you feel more faith and closer and more peace than you've ever felt. That tells us something. That spirit of Christ that is alive in you is more alive in you than your body is. Adam and Eve had everything that they needed. There wasn't a thing that they needed, and it still wasn't enough. So don't tell us that we just need one more thing to happen.
We don't.
We need one more sign. We need one more miracle. No, we need to thank God for who he is in us today.
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Brother, I love you.
I love you, Ray, and
you
appreciate
you. You are, I just thank you for your ministry. And just one last thing I want to say. My life changed, Pastor, in 30 days. Not only from a physical standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, and all I can do is thank God for it and praise God. And I wouldn't change a thing. I would stay right here where my faith is now because God is working all things together for good. And my steps are ordered by the Lord. And this is the greatest season of my life because God is working in my life like never before. And I see it and I'm surrendered. And if you need hope, Jesus is your hope. And he will be there for you in times of trouble. He will be there in those dark nights. He will be there when you're lonely. All you have to do is reach out, and he will take you by the right hand. I love you, Pastor.
I love you, too. And Ray, you know what you're saying, too, is you don't have to be strong.
Mm-mm.
You don't have to be well. You don't have to feel great. You don't have to have what you want. But you do have what you need. You do have who you need. His name is Jesus. And he really is present to show you what life really is about. So how great that we never have to die, Ray.
Nope.
No doctor, no one can give you a death sentence because
nope.
Christ has given you an eternal life sentence.
Amen.
And he is the way, the truth, and the life. Ray, I'm going to ask you, would you close with prayer today?
Absolutely. God, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the healing power of Jesus. I thank you for the fact that I have the hope of heaven, the only real hope that there is. I thank you for Pastor Gary's ministry. I thank you for the people that are going to hear this and make decisions based on the fact that they are in the midst of a hard time. And they realize all they need is God. All they need is you, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in my life. I thank you that you're my hope, my peace, my joy, my salvation. You are everything, Lord. I thank you for friends and family who have come alongside of me and supported me. I thank you for my church family. I thank you for the people that are going to listen to this and their lives be changed. Have your way, God. It's you we give the glory to. It's not by my might, not by my power, but by your spirit. And we give this time to you. We dedicate this to you. And we ask you to have your way and minister to people that are listening like you always do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bless you, Ray.
God bless you.